We're going to be in Mark chapter 12. Going to be looking at verses 28 through 31. Now look, this is a very important passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite, and I think that it's a crux or a central passage that's in all of Scripture. So what's happening and what's taking place is people are questioning Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about emotional health today, all right? And I'll explain all this as we go through. But what's taking place right here is, as this passage is being spoken or being written down for us in Scripture, is that people are coming to Christ and they're starting to question him. So they're trying to, one, question his authority, and then question also what he knows about God, all right? And so they keep asking him all these questions. And so he keeps answering them, and he keeps answering them very astutely, of course, because he is Christ. And it says this, it says, one of the scribes, now look, the scribes were the people who in that day and age were the ones who studied the law. So they were under what was called the Pharisees, and they were learning to be Pharisees themselves. Pharisees were religious leaders of the law, okay? So they kept all the Israelites in order about what the things that they could do and what were the things that they couldn't do. And so one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he, and that's Jesus Christ, had said and answered them well, he asked them, "What commandment is foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, "The foremost is..." And then look, I want you to see something right here on this. In your Bibles, and then on the outline that you have, I want you to notice that this is all capital letters. Whenever you see all capital letters in the New Testament, it is a quote from the Old Testament. It is a direct quote, okay? This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It is actually called the Shema. And basically what the Shema is, it is the one verse that they would take and... They had these little boxes, okay? And they would wear these boxes around their necks. And then the bigger the box, the more astute you were, okay? But this is one of the scriptures, or more learned that you were. This was one of the scriptures that was put in there. The Shema was in this box that was worn around their necks, okay? So it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And the second is this. Now this is Leviticus 19:18. So he's taken two passages and he's connected them together from the Old Testament. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the reason I think that this is one of the most foremost, or probably the foremost, because this is what the scribe has told or asked Christ, what is the most important thing, and he gives it. Why? Because this encompasses the entirety of our lives. I want you to think about this for a second. The heart. The heart is our emotional seat. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the heart aspect of this passage, and we're going to look at it from an emotional standpoint. All right, then the soul. The soul is the spiritual aspect of our lives. It is what is eternal. Our heart and our soul. We make decisions based upon our emotions, but it affects our soul. Okay, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. So there's a mental aspect to our lives. Then love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So there's a physical aspect to this. We are to serve the Lord. We're to give the Lord the best of our lives physically that we can. All right. Then the last thing is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the social or the relational aspect of our lives. So we're to love God directly. There's a vertical aspect to this. With our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then there is a horizontal aspect to this where we're to love each other with the love of Christ. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, he goes on ahead and tells us in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, how are we to treat other people? Does anybody remember what the golden rule is in Scripture? Treat other people as you would want to be treated by them, not as they deserve. Okay? Not as they would expect because they're an authority or something like that. We're to treat them like you would want to be treated if you were standing right there by them. Okay? So I want you to think about that this morning or this afternoon when you go to eat lunch and it's Mother's Day and you're waiting in line and your waiter is running around and maybe they're not giving you the best service in the world because they're taking care of a table of 20, or maybe you're not getting the service that you want in line. It's very easy for us to lose our temper. But looking at that whole aspect of that, if you were that person, how would you want to be treated by them? In other words, if you swap spots with them, that's what this passage is saying. Love your neighbor as yourself. So whenever you're thinking of these aspects of how you would want to talk to somebody, how you want to tell somebody, give them a piece of your mind, all these different things, I want you to stop and think for a second how you would want them to treat you if you were in their shoes on that. So that's what this is talking about socially or relationally. Now, today we're going to focus on one aspect of this. We're going to focus on the mental aspect of this. Why? Because I think that this is what wears moms down. And so we need to think about how we can emotionally help each other and help our mothers. Because is there a mom in here that's ever been tired? Did you ever go in your life without sleep for a period of time? Like 3, 4, 5 years? If you had multiple children in a row like this, was it like a decade that you didn't get a chance to sleep, Susan? All right, yeah, or eat. There you go. So you're always putting, why is that so important? Moms are always putting somebody else before themselves, right? Well, what begins to break down when moms do that? We begin to break down, and we can break down emotion. Apparently, Eddie said something that's going to cost him for a little while afterwards, all right? All right, so here's what I want us to focus on this morning. Our emotional health is determined by the ways of our heart. I'm going to give you some very important people, and these are their direct quotes this morning, all right? And so listen to this one. This is Dale Carnegie. Have anybody ever heard of Dale Carnegie? All right, How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is what he says. When dealing with people, let us remember that we are not dealing with creatures of logic. We are dealing with creatures of emotion, creatures bristling with prejudices and motivated by pride and vanity. This is totally opposite of what this passage just says. We're not putting others first, we're putting ourselves first. So when we respond to someone, we think we're going to respond to them and it's all going to be good, but it's not. Have any of you mothers that are in here ever had your husband say something to you and he was really trying hard to say the right thing, but it just didn't come out that way? Anybody? Oh, yeah, right there. Front row. That's when my wife raises her hand. Look, I have done that so many times. Can y'all imagine me ever saying the wrong thing at the wrong time? All right? So I want you to think about this for a second. This happens to us all the time. We are dealing with people that are not thinking logically. They're thinking emotionally. Why is that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is the first thing that is listed on these aspects of our lives. Because why? Because we run our lives so many times based off of feelings. How many decisions have you ever made based off of feelings? Ooh, let me tell you one of mine, all right? This is a great one, all right? No, it's really not. So we were going to go buy a car. I worked for a company called Fastenal back in the day before I went into ministry full time. So we needed a new van. So we were going to go buy a new van. So anybody ever heard of Thrall Rail Car down in Winder? All right. I sold nuts and bolts. Thrall Rail Car puts together what? Rail cars. Come on, play with me. Play along. We'll go home early. All right. So it's putting together rail cars. What kind of bolts are used on rail cars? Big bolts, man. Big bolts. So I was told that I had that account. It was going to double the size of our business, and we were going to just roll in the money. It was going to be great. So we're going to go buy a new car. So we go there, and on the way to the dealership, my wife says what? Say that louder. I said, God's already taking care of this. We're all good. All right? Come on in. And we're really good. And so it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. So we pull in. Have you ever seen that showroom car that's sitting behind the glass and they have to move the glass doors to get that thing out of the, and you're going, how did they even get that in there? I saw them how they got in there because I bought that one. All right. It had all the bells and whistles, all these things. Guess we bought the car, didn't get the account. About 18 months later, Tamara was pulling into the church and somebody ran into the back of her, totaled the car. We were upside down in the car for a long time. Had to carry that over. Why is that? Because I made, what kind of decision did I make? Emotional decision right then and there. Because why? I wasn't using logic. I was just basing this all off of feelings. And so when she said to pray about it, I didn't stop at all. I was like, God's got this. He's going to take care of me. There's no way we could ever break this bond, right? We can break that bond. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is all about us staying connected to God so that we not only can stay healthy, but also our relationship grows. And so Dale Carnegie says, we're not making these decisions the right way. Emotions are this. Let me give you this. Emotions are intense feelings that are directed at someone or something. And there's only 4 to 8 of basic emotions. These are your basic emotions. You're either joyful, you're sad, you're trusting or disgusted, you're fearful, you're angry, surprise, and anticipation. 7,000 different facial expressions and 1,850 emoticons. Do you get those in your emails? I mean, think about that today. When you get those in your emails, what is somebody makes a statement, then they put like 50 smiley faces after it so that they don't make you mad? You know what I'm saying? Because they're saying something and they don't know how you're going to respond to it. So they use all these emotional facial expressions to help get this point across. We're emotional beings. So here it is. I want to sum this up and keep moving on. Your life, this is a statement from a famous person and you're hearing it today. All right. It's bolded on your outline. The famous person's me. All right. No, it's not. Your life is a sum total of all the choices that you'll make. Do you get that? So if we're emotional beings, and the heart is the seat of our emotions, and we don't make these decisions based off of logic most of the time, then how is it that we can ever think that our life is going to stay the course if we don't stay connected? If we truly do not stay connected to God, our emotional health through prayer and through our relationship with each other and through our relationship with family, our friendships, all these bonds that we have formed, how are we going to stay emotionally healthy? We live in a country today that basically a lot of people say, I don't have to go to church. I can just stay home. It's just me and God. There is a part of that is correct. But if we're not connecting to God, then that relationship's going to be severed. And if we're not connecting with each other, then we're not growing. We're not fully developing as who we should be emotionally, spiritually, physically, all right? And mentally in our relationship with God. So here's 2 things I want you to see about your heart and about those decisions. If we know that our life is the sum total of all these choices and we're making them most of the time based off of just our emotions alone, what are 2 things that we need to understand today? One is that your heart will deceive you. Your heart will deceive you. It's hard to think that your own heart will deceive you. But Jesus gives us this example all the time in Scripture, how people thought they knew who they were, but then they would encounter Christ, and Christ just would cut right to the core. And he would reveal them to be who they are. Remember this rich young ruler that came up to him and said, I have kept the law, I have done all these things, and he names all the things that he did. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus turned around and said, you know what? You haven't done this, and you haven't done this, and you need to go sell all of your goodies and give them to the Lord. And it said that he walked away. Why did he walk away? Because he saw himself as a healthy person in his relationship to God. But in truth, he wasn't. So Christ did this all the time. And then in the Old Testament, God does it through Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. He says this, the heart is more deceitful than all else. It is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, and give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So God blesses us in accordance of how our relationship is with him. So we see this all the time too. Men with talents. Remember, there was 1 given 5, 1 given 3, 1 given 1. And then what'd they do? They took that out and they increased those. Then he took the one from the one that only had 1 and he gave it to who? The one that had 10. So if we are flourishing in our relationship with God, God continues to add to who we are as a person in all aspects of our lives, all right? So as we do this, we need to understand that it's vital that we keep this doorway open and keep this relationship growing. But we don't. We don't because our heart is deceitful. We get mad. We get angry. When something happens in our lives, we don't want to take responsibility for it. We want to do what? blame someone else, all right? Who gets the blame most of the time? You can talk back. Just don't throw things. Who gets the blame most of the time when things start going wrong in our lives? God does. It's always his fault, right? When things don't turn out the way that we want them to turn out, and we don't get our way on that, so we don't get mad at anybody else. We don't get mad at ourselves and take responsibility for that. We get mad at God. So we make an emotional decision. What's the emotional decision that we make generally? Is to what? Back off of that relationship with God. When in truth, at that point in our lives, we should, one, confess our sins and realize that we have been the one that has separated ourselves from God and return to him. Restore that relationship. And then as we come back in, he continues to grow us and build us up to who we should be as a part of the body of Christ. So our heart deceives us. The second thing I want you to see is this, is that sin is conceived in the heart. Someone else didn't make you do bad things. Your life is the sum total of the choices that you make. So this is us taking personal responsibility as to who we are, as to our personal health. Your heart will deceive you, and then sin is conceived in the heart. This is James 1, 14 through 16. It says this, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." God does not tempt us. He told us this in this passage earlier. So if you go and read James chapter 1, you'll find out that God does not do any tempting. Only tempting that comes from our adversary, okay? The devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it. If you don't believe that that's not going on, there's a spiritual battle that's going on right now for our souls, because it's our soul that's eternal. And we're making decisions based off our emotions about how we feel. So we get mad at God, we shut him out, and then we give the devil all the opportunity he needs to mess with us. And that comes through conception of sin, which gives us into our temptations. Miss Norman knows this. I love chocolate. All right? I could eat chocolate all the time. Could I not want... Tamara knows, all the time, eat chocolate. If I eat chocolate all the time, how much more round could I get? I'd be surprised. It'd be a whole lot more, because I'm fighting it right now. You're exactly right. But I think in my mind that I can eat chocolate and still be healthy. That's a crazy concept, man. There's no way that that's happened. Eat dark chocolate. That's what I need to do. I don't like the way that tastes, though. It's the good stuff, man. That's right. So I can't find the compromise. So guess what? I either have to understand what's out there and how this works, or I give in to that. I give in to my temptation. And when I give in to my temptation, I got to understand that there's going to be consequences for that. What's going to happen? Yeah, I'm going to have to buy a new set of pants, all right, that are even bigger. All right? So this is where this is. And we fight this every single day of our lives because we don't understand where this comes from. Temptation, when we give into that lust that's conceived in where? Our heart. It brings forth sin in our lives, and that sin brings forth death. And so we need to stop this and nip it at the bud. How do we do that? We do that by emotionally learning how to control who we are. And so if we emotionally learn how to control who we are, then we can overcome things at the very beginning because it affects our heart. So here's the application. The application for you today is just really, really simple. It's just scripture. All I'm going to give you for the application today is I've told you all that I know. Now I'm going to let the Lord show you the direction that we should go. All right? This is what he says. This is what David said, the Psalmist 139, 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." We need to engage God. We need to ask him to search to the very depths of who we are, find out where the cracks are in everything that who we are, our character, in our soul, in our relationship with him, and to fix those. What does David say? David says, try me. God doesn't tempt. God tries. So you may have a trial that you will go through in your life to see if you can overcome this. You know, I want to tell you this. One time for Lent, I swore off chocolate. Do y'all know how long Lent is? Huh? Yeah, it's like 40 days before Easter, I swore off chocolate. Every Sunday, I had someone asking me, have you eaten any chocolate this week? Because I told everybody, what are you going to give up for Lent, Tim? I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm not going to eat any of it. 40 days I went without it. On Easter Sunday afternoon, it was a different story. No, I'm just kidding. But I was able to what? Overcome and deal with that because why? I put it forthright and put it out there and let me and the Lord deal with it on a daily basis. That's what we have to do with our lives. We got to be straightforward with God with this. We got to ask him to search our hearts because our hearts, if we base it off of our emotions, will deceive us. Okay? The second thing is watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. If you do not have this highlighted in your Bible, I would ask you to go and highlight this in your Bible. This is one of my favorite just verses in all of Scripture. You have to guard your heart. Depending on what translation, this translation says watch over. Some translations say guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Now, is that being slack about it? When you're diligent about something, what are you doing? You're purposeful, aren't you? If you're diligent in something, you're purposeful in it. So you're guarding your heart with all purpose, with all diligence. Why? Because from it flow the springs of life. Remember how I told you in this passage, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. This is what we want to do. We have this backwards. I believe that this is given into us in a linear fashion. We have to make a choice, right? We have to decide. I have decided to follow Jesus. So that is a heart decision that affects us spiritually. And then we have to transform our mind. That's what Paul tells us. There's a mind transformation that takes place. I am renewing my mind. I am transforming my mind. He tells us that in Romans chapter 8, that we're doing this. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That there's a mind transformation that's taking place. And then physically, we go and serve. We got it all backwards. We think that we can go serve God and do a bunch of works and do a bunch of things and that he is going to transform our soul because of the works in which we've done. Going to church, doing a good deed, being a nice person, all these kind of things. We think that if physically we go and do something that is salvific for us, it's not. That's totally the other end. Why am I on Mother's Day talking to you guys about emotional health? Because it is the crux of who we are. It is our heart. If we leave it in our flesh, then we're going to make bad decisions. If we know that our life is the sum choice of the decisions that we make, then guess what? We need to guard our heart with all diligence. For from it flow all the springs of life. If we are not physically where we want to be, mentally where we want to be, spiritually where we want to be, then we need to go back to our heart. We need to go back to our heart. And we need to get right with God where? In our heart. So, last thing is this. I'm throwing this one in because this is a reminder for all of us. Matthew 12:34. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Some translations say out of the overflow of the heart. Have you ever said something and then immediately going, oh no, I'd like to take that back. Please come back. You know? No. Yeah, you said something that broke someone's what? You broke their heart. But our mouth speaks out of the overflow of whose heart? Theirs? Ours. So guess whose heart was messed up to begin with to even say those things? Ours. So guys, it all comes back to us. It all comes back to who we are. It all comes back to our heart. It all comes back to us taking personal responsibility for the decisions that we make. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you this last one because I told you I was giving famous quotes today. This is my favorite quote of all. Okay? This is from a guy named E.D. Boardman. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. If we are not where we want to be today, we got to go all the way back to sowing a thought. Who do we want to be? Where do we want our relationship with God to be? What do we want our lives to be like? What do we want our family to be like? What do we want our friendships to be like? What do we want our church to be like? What do we want our pastor to be like? This all is determinant on what? Us going back and taking a self-evaluation of where our heart is and getting our heart right. Not only our heart right with God, but then we got to get our heart right with everybody else. We've been talking about this at Mount Salem, and I'll close with this. That this time right here is a time for us to regroup. Some things have gone on in the past 2 or 3 years that have caused broken emotional states. And so we need to heal. We need to fix that. That is not somebody else getting right with Jesus. That is us getting right with Jesus. Does everybody get that? That's the whole point of this. We can't change somebody else. Only person that we can affect with our life is us. And so we have to get that right. So it starts back with us. So if we start with us and we start to repair that relationship, build that relationship, regroup that relationship, I can tell you this. God blesses. Did we not talk about that from the very beginning? To those who gives, he gives even more abundantly. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that if you sow the seed that I give you, I will give you more seed. You will never run out of seed to sow. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow the action, reap a habit. Sow the habit, you're going to reap a character. Sow the character, you're going to reap a destiny. Guess what will happen if you transform your thoughts? You will transform your destiny because it will change everything about who you are. If we change everything about who we are, then especially in our relationship with God, that's just going to bring us closer to Him. It's going to transform everything around us and about us. So our job today is to start fixing us. And for all of us that are family, that are here with our moms today, I think it would be awesome for us to just uplift them and for the realization of what they've gone through to help to try to make us happy and whole. But they can't fix us. Can they? No. They can't fix us. We can fix ourselves, though. And we can do that. And we can come to the realization of realizing that they have poured into our lives this truth and that they have lived it before us. And as they've lived it before us, we should honor them and give them the praise for that. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you so much for who you are and the blessings which you bestowed. I thank you for the love in which you've given us. I thank you for the grace. Father, I thank you for family. My mom is with you. But I thank you so much for the way I was raised, the things I was taught, and the life that I was given. Father, I thank you for the relationship that I have with you. And Father, I pray that from this day forward, that I will begin to prepare and repair the cracks that are in my life. And Father, for those that might be in this place today that are here just because they are wanting to be with their family, but they don't have this relationship with you. They have not had a heart transformation. Father, I pray for them. There's no way that their soul will ever be eternally bound to you unless they make the decision and the choice to surrender their life and follow you. Then they can begin to heal mentally and physically and socially. And Father, I pray for that relationship. Our world is in a tough place, and we like to blame everything else about the surroundings and the circumstances and the situations and all the different things. But truth be told, it comes down to us and you. And I pray this morning that we'll renew that relationship with you and that our lives will begin to be, once again, to become a light that shines brighter and brighter for the kingdom. And as we do that congregationally, I pray, Father, that as we go out in this community, that we'll not only regroup, but Father, that you will multiply our effect and our impact on this community and the world for Christ. These things we ask and these things we pray now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.